I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew 16, and we'll read beginning with verse 13. Matthew 16, 13. My message tonight is on the subject, who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? In Matthew 16:13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now this man, Jesus Christ, was born 2,000 years ago in utter poverty. The Scripture says there was no room for him in the inn, but he was born in a manger and laid in a stall, surrounded by shepherds and cattle. He was reared in obscurity. He was the son of an unmarried young woman. His foster father was not a man of influence. He was a most inconspicuous man. He made his living as a carpenter. His name was Joseph. This man, Jesus Christ, had no formal training at all. He had no formal education. As far as we know, he never traveled over 90 miles from his hometown. His friends were all poor people, unknown people, called by the religious leaders publicans and sinners. This man, Jesus Christ, never owned a piece of property. He never owned a house. He never held a public office. And as far as we know, his only possession was the robe on his back. When he was 33 years of age, he was accused of preaching heresy. And upon the testimony of false witnesses hired to testify against him, he was brutally mistreated by the soldiers, denounced by the religious leaders, sentenced to be hanged on a tree. He didn't have but 12 followers, faithful followers, called his disciples. One of them sold him for $18. Another one denied several times that he even knew him. And the rest of them forsook him and fled when he was arrested. Finally, he was taken outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem and nailed to a cross between two thieves. And during his dying hour, according to his own testimony, even the Heavenly Father turned away from him. He was taken down from that cross and was so poor that he was buried in a borrowed tomb. Now this man, Jesus Christ, never wrote a book. Yet all the libraries in the world cannot contain the books written and printed about him. This man, Jesus Christ, never wrote a song. Yet he's been the theme of more songs than all other subjects combined. This man, Jesus Christ, never founded a college. Yet all the colleges together cannot boast of as many students as those who have and are studying his life. This man, Jesus Christ, never studied medicine. Yet he healed more broken bodies and broken hearts than all the physicians who ever lived. Satan himself could not seduce him. Religious leaders could not answer him. The best lawyers of his day could not entangle him. The government could find no fault in him. Death could not destroy him, and the grave could not hold him. Who is this man, Jesus Christ? Now, the whole world will admit that Jesus Christ was the finest specimen of humanity that ever lived. You can find no one to argue with you on this point. It doesn't matter whether it's an atheist or agnostic or skeptic. It doesn't matter whether it's a preacher, a cultist, who it might be. Everyone is in total agreement that Jesus Christ was the finest specimen of humanity that ever lived upon this earth. I believe the whole world will admit that his teachings are the purest and the loftiest. His moral code, his principles, his convictions. The whole world will admit that his actions were faultless, the most faultless that the world has ever seen. But from the time that he walked on this earth, there has been no end to the controversy regarding who he is. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? He asked his disciples here, "What are the people saying? Whom do men," and when we use that word here, we mean those outside the faith, those outside the inner circle, those outside the school of believers, "whom do men say that I am?" And the disciples answered back, and they said they're saying a lot of things. Some people think you're John the Baptist who's come back from the dead. Some say you're Elias. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're one of the prophets. They're saying a lot of good things about you, a great prophet, a great reformer, a great preacher, a great healer. Some said after he died he was a great religious martyr. But then the master turned to his disciples and said, "But whom say ye that I am?" That's my question tonight. Who is Jesus Christ? And I answer it with five or six statements, and I'll ask you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. First of all, Jesus of Nazareth is the Holy One. The Holy One. Now, the Word of God plainly declares that only God is holy. The Scripture says, "Holy and reverend is His name." Holy and reverend is God's name. The Scripture says, "There is none good but God." In other words, there's none holy but God. When the rich young ruler came to Christ and called Him good master, He said, "There's none good but God." And here in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, Isaiah wrote, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two He covered His face. With two He covered His feet. With two He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. I say that Jesus Christ is the Holy One, the same one that we're reading about right here. If you'll turn with me to Mark chapter 1, verse 24, I want to read a scripture. Mark chapter 1, verse 24. The religious leaders did not know him when he came to this earth. They could not even interpret the signs of the scriptures. They failed to recognize the signs that God gave them. The kings and rulers did not know who he was. Even some of those who were looking for the Messiah, like John the Baptist, had their periods of doubt concerning Jesus Christ. For John sent the disciples to Christ on one occasion and asked him if he was the Messiah or if he looked for another one. And even his disciples, after all the miracles and even the resurrection, had trouble believing. But there were some folks here in Mark chapter 1. I call them folks, but some things. Let's put it that way. There were some spirits that recognized him immediately. For these spirits were before the disciples and before the religious leaders and before the kings and magistrates. These spirits of whom we read here were before the Old Testament prophets. They were before even Adam and Eve. These demons of whom we read here were before the foundation of the earth. And when they saw him in his bodily form on this earth, they knew immediately who he was. Now look at it. Mark 1, verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art. You're the Holy One of God." Just one holy. Holy and reverend is his name. Whose name? God's name. There's none good but God. And these demons, when he came on the scene and in their presence on this occasion, they spoke up. And they said, "We know who you are." And on another occasion, they cried, "Have you come to torment us before our time, before the day of judgment, before the day of God's wrath and God's ultimate eternal condemnation? We know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." Peter said of Jesus of Nazareth, "He did no sin." That can never be said of a man, for the Bible says if a man says he has no sin, the truth's not in him. Paul said of him, "He knew no sin. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth." Christ said of himself, "I always do those things that please my Father." Always. He is the Holy One. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? He is the Holy One. Now, secondly, I want you to turn with me to the book of Exodus. Now, every Bible student in here knows that God refers to himself as "I am." That is, God cannot say "I was." God cannot say "I will be." God is the eternal, ever-present "I am." And when Moses said to him in verse 13 of Exodus 3, look at it, Exodus 3, verse 13, Moses said to God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say, what is his name? What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the Pharisees concerning himself, he said, Before Abraham was, I am. I am. Jesus of Nazareth, this son of Mary, this son of poverty and obscurity, this uninfluential, inconspicuous carpenter out of Nazareth, when they said, Who are you? He said, I am. When he was standing out there in the garden, when the soldiers came to arrest him, he looked at them and he said, Whom seek ye? They said, We seek Jesus of Nazareth. And he answered, I am. He did not say, I am he. If I am he is in your translation of the Bible, you'll find the he is in italics, or should be. He said, I am. And when he said that, they fell backward to the ground. Look at Micah chapter 5, the little book of Micah, chapter 5, right after the book of Jonah in the minor prophets. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Listen to this. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Jesus of Nazareth is not only the Holy One, he is the Eternal One. Out of Bethlehem shall come forth unto me he that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6. Now, this is important. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? When Christ asked the disciples whom men said that he was, whom do men say that I am? They based their answer on hearsay, personal judgment, personal ideas. We've got to base our judgment on who Jesus Christ is by what the Bible says about him. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, talking about the birth of Christ, it says, Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, this world has a lot to say about Jesus being the Prince of Peace. But in the same sentence in which he's called the Prince of Peace, he's called the Everlasting Father. He's also called in the same sentence that calls him the Prince of Peace. He's called the Mighty God. I think religious people today are the most inconsistent and dishonest people that the world has ever seen, because they're so good at picking parts and pieces out of the Bible and basing doctrines on it. You can't just reach into that Isaiah 9:6 and lift out the Prince of Peace and put it on the wall and say, Jesus of Nazareth is the Prince of Peace. Sure he is, but he's the Mighty God too. He's the Everlasting Father, and he's the Prince of Peace. And he's the Prince of Peace because he's the Mighty God. If he were not the Mighty God, he wouldn't be the Prince of Peace. And Colossians 1:17 says of him, listen, and he is before all things, speaking of Jesus Christ. He is before all things. He is the Eternal One. Eternal. Now, thirdly, he is the Holy One, That makes him God, because only God is holy. He is the eternal one. He is the everlasting Father whose goings forth have been from of everlasting. And he is the unchangeable one. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Unchangeable. In Hebrews 13, verse 8, it says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. How can he be the same? Because he never learns anything. He knows all things. He never forgets anything. Nothing can be added to him. Nothing can be taken away. Because he's complete. Therefore, he is the same. There's nothing in heaven, earth, or hell that is the same except God. Because only God is perfect. You can't be any better than perfect. Complete, independent. And he's the same. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 1. This is very important here. Hebrews chapter 1. We're talking about Jesus of Nazareth. Who is he? Who is he? In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, and unto the Son he said, Hebrews 1:8. I want everybody with a Bible to find this now and look at it. Hebrews 1:8. Unto the Son he said, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Thy years shall not fail. John 1 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He that hath seen me, Christ said, hath seen my Father. I and the Father are one. Who is Jesus Christ? He's the Holy One. He is the Eternal One. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the unchangeable one. And in the fourth place, he's the living one. He said in John chapter 5, John chapter 5, verse 26, listen to it. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given unto him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Whose voice? Christ. And they shall come forth at the sound of his voice, because he is life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Outside of Jesus Christ, there's death. Legal death, moral death, physical death, and eternal death. In the fifth place, who is Jesus Christ? Turn with me to Matthew 28. He's the Holy One. He's the Eternal One. He's the Unchangeable One. He is the Living One. And in Matthew 28, verse 18, he is the powerful one, omnipotent. In Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus spake, came and spake unto them and said, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All authority. Not some authority, not some power. Not just power to still oceans and heal the sick. All power. All authority is given unto me. All authority in heaven. All power. Complete control. And all power on this earth. He said in John 17 that he has, I want you to turn there and read it for yourself. He has all power in heaven, he has all power on earth, and he has all power over all flesh. John 17, 2, listen. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. All authority. He has all power over death. He has all power over the universe. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. In Hebrews 1, verse 3, listen to this. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, or different manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the exact or express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, he upholds all things, the universe, all power, all principalities, all rulers, the sun, the moon, the stars, the orbit, the turning of the earth. He upholds all these things by the word of his power, by whom the worlds were made and by whom the worlds are held. And then in Mark chapter 2, he is the all-powerful one. That is, he has all power in heaven. He has all power on the earth. He has all power over all flesh. He has all power over death. He has all power over the universe. He has the power to forgive sin. In Matthew 2, verse 10, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power, authority on earth to forgive sin. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went his way. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. And then in the sixth place, he is the omniscient one. There are three scriptures that I want to read here. John chapter 2, verse 24. In John 2, verse 24, it says, Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. God's omniscient. That is, God knows all things. And Jesus Christ knew all men and did not need any testimony concerning what was in man. He knew what was in man. And then John 6:64 says, Jesus knew from the beginning who would not believe and who would betray him. And then in John 16:30 it is said, O Lord, thou knowest all things. And then again, Jesus knew their thoughts. In the seventh place, he is the ever-present one. Now let's read John 1, verse 18. John 1, verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. When Christ was here on the earth, he spoke of himself as being in the bosom of the Father. Let's turn to John 3:13. Listen to this. John 3:13. Now watch it carefully. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Even the Son of Man which is in heaven. One great writer had this to say. The Son of Man, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, miraculously descended from heaven. For a time was clothed in the likeness of sinful flesh. Took upon himself a human body and lived on this earth in the presence of people for over 33 years. Yet, he did this in such a manner that he never left heaven. He chose to be born of a virgin, to live on the earth, and to die on a cross. Yet, he never ceased to fill the universe. It'd fall apart without him. He filled that universe in the same manner as from the beginning and in the same manner in which he fills it right now. He is the ever-present one who can say to any disciple, whether he's in Germany or France or Spain or Russia or America or South America or in the heart of the jungles or up the farthest point of the Amazon, "Lo, I'm with you." Yet he's at the right hand of the Father. Who can say, where two or three are met together, I will be in their midst. Who can say to his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and teach all nations, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth." You say, "How can you explain that?" I can't explain God. A person doesn't explain God, he believes God. If he could explain God, he'd be God, and his God would be no bigger than himself. "Thou thoughtest," God said, "that I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I'm not. The heaven of heavens cannot contain him." And while he miraculously descended from heaven, yet in such a manner, he never left heaven. He is the Son of Man who was on the earth and at the same time in the bosom of the Father. No man hath descended from heaven save the Son of Man which is in heaven. And then last of all, who is Jesus Christ? John chapter 5, verse 22. He is the judge of all the earth. Verse 21 of John 5 says, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Who is Jesus Christ? He is the light of heaven. He is the glory of heaven. He is the King of heaven. He is the life of heaven. Our Father, take thy word, and in a powerful, personal way, apply it to our hearts. We do not want only a head knowledge of doctrine and theology. We want a heart experience. We want to know Thee, the living God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. We want that faith which believes, that faith which bows, and that faith which receives Christ in all His glory and fullness. We cannot explain how that the Lord Jesus Christ can be here with us, be at Thy right hand, be our intercessor, be our mediator, govern the worlds, uphold all things with the word of His power, and yet Thy word has declared that it is so. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Teach us, O Lord, more about Thyself. Reveal unto us Thy will. But chiefly give us that contrite spirit and that broken heart that does not seek a sign, but seeks faith in the revealed Word of the living God. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for His glory we pray. Amen.